Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artists. I am so excited, I can barely stand it. Barely stand it. This is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. Mike has, his fighter has a fight tonight. His boxer has a fight tonight, so he's going to call in as soon as his that fight is over with. But I want to welcome to the show Lori G., our fan co-host. Lori, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you on as a fan. And welcome to the chat room, Anita Ross, Antoine Smith, Boney Fan Carol, Guest 4961, and, of course, Miss Lori. Welcome you everyone to the chat room. As I said, I am so excited I can barely stand it. Howard Hewitt is our guest this evening, and talk about a brother that can capital S-A-N-G a song. From his preteen years with the Hewitt sisters, his time with Shalimar, his solo career to his gospel recordings, Howard Hewitt's voice is irresistible. Howard released his first new solo album since it's time. Is that you, Howard?
How you doing?
Hi. What is that in the background?
I'm actually standing out on the balcony. I'm in L.A. I'm at home here in L.A. I have a loft that's right across the street from the Staples Center. So I'm standing out here watching everything that's happening at the Staples Center with Game 7 with the Lakers and the Celtics.
Oh,
that's where I am right now.
Okay. All right. So Howard has he has released his first new soul album since his It's Time album, and it's called If Only. This album was released in 2007, but I have to tell you, it is quintessential Howard Hewitt. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. I had a great time doing that project, and you know that right now the thing is that what you try and work for is to be able to do things the way in this particular part of your career, to be able to do things the way that and with the timely manner that you would want to do it. So, you know, I had a good time doing the If Only album, you know, and it was some good stuff on there.
Yes, it is. Babyface has said that of all the fine singers, Howard Hewitt is among the finest. And according to one of the Rolling Stone writers, Howard Hewitt is the premier vocalist in the post-Marvin Gaye era of romantic pop. I tell you, I have been wanting to introduce you like I did when I said talk about a brother that can capital S-A-N-G a song, because you do it like none other. I put you right up there with Luther Vandross when it comes to my favorite male vocalist.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you. I appreciate that. That's great company to be in. But, you know, I did a last Saturday, I think it was this past Saturday or a week ago Saturday. I did a homegoing service for a friend of mine that, like you just said, S A N G, just one of those singers, and that was Ali Woodson from The Temptations.
Oh, yeah.
And when I think about singers, you know what I mean? I mean that's what I think about, and Ali, he's going to be definitely missed, and I could just sit and listen to Ali sing, you know, just sit and listen to him sing forever, and he's going to be greatly missed in this business.
Mm, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, Howard, the first time I saw you perform was at Kimball's East in Emeryville.
Oh, okay.
I know that you had performed there several times, so I don't remember what – I think it was like 95, maybe 94, 95, somewhere up in there.
Yeah.
And I have been a fan ever since.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We used to have some fun. I was so sad to see Kimball's East close down, because it was the kind of venue that, you know, you could go in there and just, like, have a ball, you know, just have a great time. And the fans were right there. The people who listened to your music and followed the music for years and years, they were right there. It was such an intimate, such an intimate setting that I was really sorry to see it close down, because, you know, we need more of those type of venues around the country.
Yeah, I agree. Let me give out the phone number. If you would like to speak to Howard, the number is 646-716-5485. You can come and join us in the chat room by going to TalkingSmoothJazz.com, clicking on the TSJ Radio Show page, and then the play chat button underneath the Howard Hewitt Show. All right, so Miss Laurie, I'm going to let you go with the first question.
Well, I was just going to say that I was really impressed to see that you were the composer, producer, and executive producer of If Only, and you had some really great names on there as well. I saw Gerald Albright and Nate East, The Foreplay, Paul Jackson Jr., Stanley Clark, and George Duke on there, so it must have been pretty exciting to put together.
How was it put together?
It must have been exciting to put together.
It was really exciting to put together. But, you know, Lori, it's like those, you know, thank God, you know, those are my friends, you know, Gerald Albright. George Duke, Stanley Clark. I met Stanley years and years ago when I first got into the whole recording situation, and then Stanley eventually introduced me to George, you know, and with that it was like, you know, Gerald Albright and there was another saxophone player that I used to use all the time, and he passed away some time ago, George Howard. And those are guys that I just, you know, it's funny because it seems like every time I do something with somebody on the outside of my own stuff, even though I'm into the R&B situation, it's always a jazz artist, like, you know, Everett Harp and Brian Culberson and guys like that. And so when I put together the If Only project, and I finally, you know, did a little partnership with these people, Groove Records and the Machine Production with Mike Reynolds and stuff, who was the head of that whole thing. Once we decided what we were gonna do, then I just, you know, kind of called up all my friends. You know, Ralph Johnson from Earth, Wind & Fire. He and I executive produced the project. And once we got in there and really started working, it was just such an easy type of feel. And once you figure it out and you're going and you figure out what you're doing, I mean, when you have people like that working with you, it's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to come up with, you know, situations and grooves and lyrics and the feel for what you're doing. It's easy to come up with those things because it's you know, you have such talented people working with you.
Well, I saw you live with Brian Culbertson and Gerald Albright on the Christmas show a few years back.
Right.
And it was very, very relaxed, and it just felt like you all fit together very well.
Yeah, with my mind is gone right now because I'm thinking about this game, but Nick Coley, it's almost halftime now, yeah. Nick Coleone was like, I love working with him. He's a great, great brother, great cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was at the same concert, but in Las Vegas. And you may not remember me, but at the signing table, I came up to you and said, I said something to the effect that I am so glad that you finally put out another CD, because I have been hearing you, you know, guest vocal on other artists' music, and I kept saying, when is he coming out with another CD? I've been waiting and waiting, and finally, If Only came out, and I bought it immediately. I just could not wait.
You know, today the whole recording situation is such a different kind of animal right now, you know, and it's not about, you know, unfortunately, you know, like, it's not like it was back in the day, you know, where you put an album out and people are waiting for it, and then radio's waiting for it, and you put the single out, and then once the album comes out, then they take the album and they, you know, start picking the album apart, you know what I'm saying, and they can play this. They can play this single and this tune and that tune and that tune and this tune. You know, you can't do that. It's not like that anymore. It's a singles game out there now. And even if you put even when you put an album out, right now the way the radio is, you know, as far as commercial radio is concerned, the way radio is, they can't play anything except for the single. If they play the single, if you're forcing it enough for them to play your single, they'll play the single. But DJs don't have autonomy anymore, as far as you know, picking and choosing what they want to play. So like it's a singles game out there now. You know, you have iTunes and Amazon.com and different sites on the internet where you can go and you can, you know, like choose which single. You know, choose which single you want to play. You know, and you want to buy for 99 cents. You know, for 99 cents you buy that single. So it's a different kind of game. I think that it's a great opportunity for artists to really, really take control of their own career. If you're able to take that old school way of doing, you know, if you're able to take that hat off and then put on that entrepreneurial hat, it's a great thing, you know. And so, you know, it's a different kind of game now. It's really a different kind of game now.
Yes, it is. I have a question for you from the chat room, and then we're going to go to a song. The question comes from Cynthia, and she wants to know about your time with Shalamar. Are you still in contact with the members, and if there is anything you want to do differently today in order to keep the peace with the group?
In order to keep the peace with the group?
Yes.
Is that what that's funny.
Yes.
But Jeffrey and I do shows. We actually just came from Africa. We just did a gig in Africa and about four shows in England about a month ago. And through the years, you know, the last 8, 9, 10 years, we've done, you know, Jeffrey and I do shows overseas all the time, over in, you know, the UK as well as, like I said, Africa, Europe and everything, and we take Jody doesn't do it with us, you know, but we take another girl, this girl named her name is Carolyn Griffey, and she's a great singer, she has a great look about her, and you know, she had been following the group. Her dad actually helped put Shalamar together. He was the founder of Solar Records, Dick Griffey.
So,
like, you know, we've been doing that. We haven't done anything here in the States, because for a long time I was saying, you know, the only way I would do anything here in the States would be if it was with me, Jeffrey, and Jody. But, you know, I don't know. You know, it's as time goes on, and as we do more shows, as Jeffrey, Jody, Jeffrey, Carolyn, and I do more shows overseas, then I think it is, you know, I start thinking that this is something that I would like to present here in the States, and I would be proud to present here in the States. So, you know, I mean, you know, I would love to do it with me, Jeffrey, and Jody, but, you know, Jody right now, she's doing her thing, and she's in Jody land, as we say. You know, she's in Jody land, so we let her stay there in Jody land and let her, you know, and have a good time. But to me, is, you know, it's all about the music, and it's all about whether it makes sense. If it makes sense, then let's do it. You know, if it makes sense with me, if it makes sense with me, Jeffrey, and Carolyn, then let's do it. You know, and if the, you know, and when I say it makes sense, it has to make sense. It has to make dollars. It has to make, you know, be something that I think creatively would be a good presentation for the fans. And I'm down with that. That's fine. So if we get the right package together, then you may see Shalimar, you know, but you'll see me, Jeffrey, and Carolyn Griffin.
Oh, all right. That would be cool. Definitely would love to see that.
Absolutely. I think it would go over quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, and let me know. I mean, we have the ear of the fans out there right now. Let me know, because my whole thing has always been, okay, will the fans really want to see Shalimar, you know, with Jeffrey Howard and Carolyn and another girl, you know, rather than Jody? I mean, you know, but, you know, so let me know. You know, let's put it out there right now. Let me know what's happening. Let me know what
you want. I love Jody, but you're the voice of Shalimar.
Yes.
You know, that's how I see it. So as long as you're involved, it's going to be good.
Yes. Totally
I appreciate that.
No, it's true. That's how I see it.
Yeah. And I can tell you that those in the chat room are all for Shalimar. All for it.
Oh, they're all for it?
Yes, they are for it.
All right.
Yes.
All right, great.
Look forward to seeing new Shalimar.
Give me some confirmation. You know, because, I mean, there's a Howard Hewitt Facebook, you know, Facebook/Howard Hewitt, and there's also a MySpace.com/Howard Hewitt fan page that you can go to. I don't know how many people are on MySpace anymore, but, you know, this, let me know what you feel. Let me know, you know, what your response is to that.
All right, there you go. He's put it out there. Go to his Facebook page and his MySpace page, and let's start a petition to bring Shalimar back.
Oh,
that work.
You know,
okay.
You know, we did this TV One series called Unsung not too long
mm-hmm.
ago, and
I saw that.
There was a great response to that also. People, you know, that really, you know, wanted to hear what the deal was. But then Jody felt like it was necessary for her to do a thing on the internet called the thing on TV One was called Unsung, and she felt it necessary to do something called Unfiltered. I mean, you know, there's things that happened 30 years ago that should be left back 30 years ago. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, right now, life is way too short to be tripping on stuff that really doesn't mean anything. I mean, we hear all the time about people who just drop out of this life. You know what I'm saying? And life is way too short to be tripping on drama that happened 30 years ago. And it's like, I mean, I don't, you know, if you don't like me, that's cool. I don't care if you don't like me, but you don't have to like me in order to make money with me. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't have to sit down. I don't have to sit down and have dinner with you in order to make money with you. What I do have to do, I have to be able to trust you, and I have to be able to trust that if we do gigs and if we put some gigs in place, that you're going to show up, and it's not going to be a bunch of drama over unnecessary stuff that happened 30 years ago.
Years ago.
So it's about business. You know, it's about business. It's about and mainly it's about getting out there and putting something together for the people, for the fans who have supported Salomar through the years and given them something that they can get up there and party with and shake your booty and have a great time. And that's what it's
there
all about.
Go. There you go.
That's what it's all
let
about.
Let me let you know that Muse U in the chat room says that she will start a fan page, start a page on Facebook, Bring Back Shalimar. So she's
there you
put
go.
That together. We're going to put that together.
All right.
Let's listen to some music. I have several favorites on this CD. The CD is called If Only, and I have several favorites. I'm going to play the first track, I'll Be Right Here. Tell me about this one.
I'll Be Right Here. That was by this guy named Scott. I'm terrible. You guys got me right in the middle of this game now.
I'm going to give you a break. That's why I'm playing the song. I'm give you a break so you can look at some of the game.
a good partner of mine, he's actually out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He put this whole thing together and he brought it to me. And I was like, man, this is a great, great, great track. And we did some tweaking. We did some tweaking as far as the lyrics and things were concerned, and it turned out great. Turned out really
yes,
good.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Yeah. All right, this is I'll Be Right Here from
Howard
Hewitt, If Only CD.
Girl, I love you. You'll always be the one for me. Spend most of my time thinking of you. Deep in my heart is where you are. Girl, now it's not easy.
Yeah. Howard, you have such a beautiful voice. Such a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. I want to say that was Rodney Shelton. I can't leave here without giving my man a shout out on that. That's Rodney Shelton. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina, and great writer, great producer. And in fact, probably on the next project we'll do a couple other tunes. Hopefully we will anyway.
Okay, cool. Now, I mentioned earlier that you started out in your preteens with your sisters doing gospel, singing gospel. How old were you then?
I started out when I was like 10 years old. I was 10 years old. Three of my sisters backed me up, and we had a bass player, guitar player, drummer, a B3 organ player, and we were called the Hewitt Singers. And my mom was a professional gospel major gospel promoter in the Akron, Cleveland area. And once she found out that we could carry a tune and we formed the Hewitt Singers, of course, nepotism was alive and well in our family, you know, and so every show that she would bring in, you know, we would of course open the show for them. So we initially started out opening up shows for like James Cleveland, Albertina Walker and the Caravans, the Volunteers, Soul Stirrers, Pilgrim Jubilees, you know, just you name it, we opened up the show for them. And then summertime when we were out of school, we would, you know, go on the Chitlin' Circuit, the Gospel Chitlin' Circuit, up and down the East Coast, Midwest, and up through Canada and stuff. So, you know, I cut my teeth on some really, really very, very cool stuff. And I mean, one of my favorite groups back in the day was the Pilgrim Jubilees, and that's Cleve and Clay, and I mean they used to just wear me out. It was great. They put on a great show and, you know, great vocals and the whole thing. So I come from the whole gospel thing.
Okay. All right. Lori, do you have a question?
Well, I think you have the soul singer thing down too, and I'll tell you why. Every time I see you in concert, you'll pull somebody out of the audience or you'll hold someone's hand and, you know, you have the lady swooning. Was that something learned or did you just say naturally?
Well, you know, I like engaging the audience.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I don't like when I go to a concert, I don't go to very many concerts, but when I go to a concert, I like somebody that engages the audience, not somebody that just stands there and sings and, you know, the whole thing. I mean, they engage the audience, and people have different ways of doing it. My way of doing it is basically to get right down there with the audience. You know what I mean? And I remember one time I did the Conseco Auditorium. It was about 25,000-30,000 seater. And a friend of mine wanted me to just come down. He was promoting this. He was the promoter on this Earth, Wind, and Fire Tina Marie concert. And he just said, man, Howard, come down. I want you to come down and just do your live track show. You know, I don't want to have to – he didn't want to have to, you know, like change, you know, sets and all that stuff, but he just wanted somebody to really engage the audience and get the audience involved before Tina came out, before Earth, Wind, and Fire came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, man, I said, you know, I said, I've done my live to track show, which I'm not shy about my live to track show. There's a way to do live to track. You know, there's a way to, like, you know, do live to track so that people are involved and people are having a good time and stuff. And so I'm not shy about my live track show, but up to that point I had only done my live track show like in a 2,500, largest was like a 2,500 to 3,000 seater, right? Theaters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a 25,000, 30,000 seat auditorium, arena. So like I said, he said, well, man, come on down and blah, blah, blah. He said, and my manager said, well, you know, we can send the money back if you don't want to do it. I said, well, wait a minute, wait. I said, I'm not used to sending the money back now. You know, we can work it out. You know, we can work it out. So So I went on, I went there, and I got out on stage, and there was this huge stage, and anybody that's seen an Earth, Wind, and Fire show, you know, it's they have all this huge, all this equipment and this production and all this stuff. So I come out on stage, you know, and it's just me and the track on this huge stage with all this equipment and everything behind me. And I got into the first song, and, you know, it's like, you know, okay, everybody was grooving. But in my mind, I'm saying, okay, I need to figure out how to make this 25 and 30,000 seat arena feel like a 500 or 600 seat club, you know? So, you know, so then I figured after the first song, I figured out a way to get down into the audience. And once I got down in the audience and took the attention off of all the equipment, off of all the equipment behind me, then it was like I started working it. It was working, and like, you know, and it became an intimate and a very intimate setting. And that's what I like to do. I mean, I like to get out in the audience. I like to, like you said, pull women up and dance with them. And, you know, because some women, that's like the highlight of their life and of their year or whatever. So like, you know, to be a part of that is like, I love it. I love it. I perform. I've been a performing artist, like I said before, since I was, you know, 10 years old. And I don't think I could ever not perform. You know, I could, you know, I can like calm it down a little bit. I'm hitting like about maybe 125, you know, 130 shows out a year now. But, you know, later on in the next couple of years, I might calm it down a little bit. But I could never just not perform.
Right.
Well, you are definitely a busy man. I started this show in June of 2008, and I have been trying to get you on ever since. But you're always traveling, or you're out of the country, or you know, you're just not available. So definitely, you stay busy. You stay busy. Well, that's for sure.
That's the name of the game. That's the name of the game. You know.
Now. I'm going to play another song, but I want to ask you, as I mentioned earlier, If Only is your first soul CD since It's Time. So why did you start recording after that?
Well, when I did It's Time, you know, It's Time was the first independent project I did, and since I left Elektra. And, you know, it was the state of the recording industry. The industry at that time was so crazy, so jacked up, and I really wasn't that interested in recording right then at that point. I had you know, kind of gotten away from my whole personal appearance situation, and I hired a manager that I told him, you know, look, I'm not really interested in recording right now. I want to get back in front of my audience. I want to get back in front of the people who really, you know, made my career. And,
okay,
you know, and he took me really serious, because, like I said, you know, at that point I started just like, he just started booking me all over the place. And that's what I've been doing. I've been establishing that whole thing. And then when the time came and the opportunity came to do another project with a company that was into really making a commitment, you know, because it's not really about any, especially anymore, it's not really about how much money a company can give me to do a project, because, you know, thank God I can go out and make money. You know, I've always been able to, you know, to make money, but, you know, it's about the commitment. What kind of commitment are they going to make? Are they going to be committed to this project and to put it out there and do the things that need to be done in order to expose it, you know? So when I hooked up with Mike Reynolds and The Machine and Ralph Johnson and Groove Records and everything, you know, we started talking and they were saying the right stuff, and we formed a partnership. Because now it's really all about ownership. You know, what can you own?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
allow the early Shalimar stuff and early Howard Hewitt stuff is great stuff, but I don't own any of that. you know.
Yeah. Right,
But the It's Time album, I own that 100%. The If Only album, I own, you know, 50% of that. And that's what the whole thing is about now. It's about ownership. It's about leaving something, you know, for my kids and really, you know, shaping and forming a situation where, you know, it's business. It's the business is right, and you're gonna make money and make a good living from it from now until, you know, for years to come. So, you know, in other words, but back to your question, back to your first question, I wasn't really interested in a lot of recording at that time because people weren't really into that. The recording industry hadn't gotten the memo that times are changing, you know.
Right, yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, so at that point, I just wanted to kind of, you know, like I said, get back, take a break from recording and get back into my personal business. But, I mean, during that time, I did a lot of stuff with a lot of friends of mine, like, you know, Joe Sample and, like I said, Brian Culberson and a lot of my friends and stuff. So I wasn't completely out of the whole, you know, recording situation. But
mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go to the phones. Carolyn from Cleveland, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Well, hello.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Hi. Oh, just fine. I'm so glad I'm on this phone. That's right.
Meet Howard Hewitt.
I'm one of those fans from Ohio.
That's my home state.
That's right. And
That's my home state.
I have been loving your voice. I'm surprised I'm not fainting on the phone right now. But I just wanted to get this out. I love that song you did with Brian Culberson, Secret Garden.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That
yep.
is sweet.
Yep.
And yeah, and you know, there's another song I swear to God I have you in mind. It's called I think it's called I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love
yeah.
that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see your voice on that, but I wanted to get that in there, you know.
Yeah. as a cover tune, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good song. I've always loved that song. So yeah, but the Brian Culberson situation. I mean, mm-hmm. when Brian first called me, you know, I was aware of Brian and of his, mm-hmm. his projects and stuff. But he called me. He said, "Man, I want you to do a song with me." You know. On the current album that I'm working on, and I said, mm-hmm. "Oh man, I said I love to, I love your stuff," and he said, "I said, you know, hold on 1 second, because they're going crazy out here. I don't know. I think Boston's winning, but you know, by 4 points at halftime. But I think the police out here are, like, winning out here." But Brian called me. He said he wanted me to do a project, you know, do a song with him on the project he was working on. And I said, "That's mm-hmm. cool. I love your talent and the whole thing." And said, "I'll give you my people's contact and information. Your people can mm-hmm. get in touch with my people. You know, the regular thing, you know." And then he said, "Okay." And then I said, "Well, what tune do you want to do?" He said, "Well, I want to do a cover of Secret Garden."
Oh wow!
And I said, "Hey man, forget about my people and your people and all that. Let's just do it. Let's do it, and then we'll get all the people together. We'll get all the people together later on." Because
yeah.
I mean, that was, I mean, out of the whole, I think it was on the Quincy Jones Back on the Block album. I think it was.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Right.
With James and James Ingram
oh, yeah.
and Barry White,
yeah.
Al B, you know, and that tune was, I mean, to me was probably the best tune on that album, and I loved that song. So, you know, when he said, you know, I want to do a remake, a cover of Secret Garden, I said, "Hey, okay,
mm-hmm.
hey, get that. We'll get all the business straight later on, but you know, with." Let's book the time in the studio and just tell me where to be, what time, and I'll be there.
Yeah. I mean, I have that CD, so
yeah,
I'm definitely a fan.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem. You keep doing what you're doing because you're making all of us proud.
Keep doing what you're doing too, sweetie.
Well, thank you. Well, thanks for talking with me. I'm going to get off this phone. I'll faint when I hang up, though.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Right.
Okay, no
That's
problem.
Okay,
thank
I'll
you.
Be fainting with you.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Thank you,
All
Howard,
right.
too. Bye.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Bye-bye. Okay, so my co-host has called in, and Howard, his name is Mike Reynolds.
Mike Reynolds. All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, how's everything going?
Huh?
How's everything going with you guys?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Nothing much. I apologize for calling in late, but I manage a heavyweight boxer, and he just won his seventh fight via first-round knockout. So.
Oh, congratulations. That's all. That's cool.
All right, congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll
all
be
right,
on YouTube
so.
Tonight.
Okay. Okay. All right, I'm getting ready to play another song, but Howard, I wanted to tell you that the most expensive CD in my collection is the It's Time CD, because when I went to buy it, I couldn't find it anywhere, and I had to order it. I ordered it from Tower Records, and it was an import, so that's why it cost me more. So it cost me like $23, $24 for that CD, but I had to have it.
Yeah, it's one of those really hard to find items. As far as that's concerned, and, you know, I haven't struck a distribution deal yet for here in the States for the It's Time album yet. So once I do that, then it'll be a little bit less expensive. It'll be available, you know, a little bit less expensive than that. So that's good.
Oh, I did not mind paying the money for it. I have it on cassette, but I wanted it on CD. So I searched high and low for it. Okay, the next song I'm going to play is another favorite from the CD, Don't You Wonder Too. Tell me about this one.
Oh, yeah.
Don't You Wonder Too is a writer from out of Chicago, right outside of Chicago. This guy named Butch Stewart. Great writer. Is another one of those type of situations where, you know, he invited me into to his studio when I was playing somewhere in Chicago, and when I went there, he had a bunch of stuff that he wanted me to listen to, and when I heard this tune, I said, man, can I just you know, see what everything sound what it sounds like with my vocals on it, you know, let's, and he said, yeah, when you want to do it, I said, well, let's do it right now, you know. Let's do it now. Let's just, you know, let's just get a, you know, he had it on, you know, had it on his Pro Tools situation, and we just recorded my vocals on it right then, and we ended up tweaking a couple of things, but, you know, for the most part, what we initially did was what initially is on the track.
All right. This is Don't You Wonder Too.
You know, as an artist, it's a blast to be able to sing a song that's full of love and talks of the expectations of love, and then to turn around and just as effectively be able to grasp the emotions of a song where love is lost, it's gone, it's not here anymore. But isn't that the way of the world? I mean, joy and pain, bitter, sweet. You can't truly experience the exhilaration, the high of one, unless you've known the depth of the other.
Wondering why Our love's not a lie. Don't you wonder too? It hurts being friends. Tell me why this is. Don't you wonder too? And if time will allow the season to pass, why can't time just allow for a moment of freedom? Our love was pure as heaven snow. Tell me why'd I let you go? Don't you wonder too? Was it just not meant to be? Me for you and you for me. Don't wonder
Howard, Howard, Howard. Oh, my goodness.
Thank
that
you.
Voice.
That was 1 to 2.
Ooh,
that was great.
Voice
that's,
of yours.
When I heard that song, I was like, I said, no, I got to do this song. Because, I mean, the whole message, the feel of it, the attitude, everything. I mean, it's you know, because songs, you have to convey them. You have to feel them, and you have to be able to convey them. You know, vocally, because you know when you're recording, and you're on CD, you know, back in the day, album, or wax, or whatever, people can't see you. You know, they
mm-hmm.
can't see how you're you know feeling the tune. So what you have to do is make them feel it, you know, convey it through your vocals. And this was one of those kind of tunes that you know. It didn't take much just to convey what that song was really talking about. And Butch Stewart, like I said, Butch Stewart out of he's right outside of this little town. I forget the name of the town. Right outside of one of the suburbs of Chicago, and has a nice complex, everything there that he works out of. So I was really happy to work with him.
You did an awesome job on the song. The entire CD is just wonderful, just wonderful. Mike, I'm going to come back to you with a question, but I got to get in Andrew's question that he had asked me earlier. He wanted to know, Howard, about you working with Robert Townsend on the TV special, The Gospel Channel, and do you like TV, and are you considering doing more?
Yes, Robert and I did this. Robert and I go back. First time Robert approached me about doing something with him was on the Partners in Crime, HBO. So his first mm-hmm. HBO special, Partners in Crime. And I remember Robert, he called me and we had a little meeting and stuff. And he said, I want you to do, say amen on my first, HBO special. And I said, oh, man, I'd love to. That would be an honor. I'd be honored to do it. He said, but I want to sing it with you, right? And I was like,
maybe not, huh?
I said, you want to sing it with me? He says, yes. I didn't know whether he was singing. I'm like, but he said, and then before I could even answer, he says, man, this is my first HBO special. And he said, I can't find any better way to thank God for, this blessing than for you and I to do, say amen together. So, how do you deny that? Or how do you, so I said, yes, of course. And that actually was like history. Because, Say Amen was like, at the time when the Partners in Crime episode aired, the first solo album had already, the second solo album, the Forever and Ever album, was already in the stores. And when Say Amen, when Partners in Crime situation aired on HBO, and we did Say Amen together, all the stores across the country had to reorder the I Commit to Love album because people came in, wanting, I need to say amen, So they had to reorder the I Commit to Love album. But just recently, Robert came to me and he's doing this thing called Theater of Hope on the, I forget, it was with Bishop Long out of Atlanta. And he was doing it. Bishop Long was financing everything, and it was a series of vignettes that he was doing. I think Angie Stone did one, and a few other people did one. And then he called me and asked me if I would do one. They were all like maybe 10, 15 minutes long. That was it, and people loved it. I've actually never really seen it because it's really weird. It's strange for me. I love acting and I love doing, and feeling and going through the whole thing. But one thing I can't get into is like watching myself on screen. So I can't, I've never seen it, but I've gotten so many emails and so many responses to that whole thing that, I'm really digging it. I know it was very, very successful. So, and then also to say, to his question, yes, I there's scripts and offers that come across my desk all the time, but you gotta choose the right one. And, there's some things that I've done and it's been very successful and you have to be very careful about what you choose to do because once you put it on, once they record it, once they film it, they put it on film, it's there forever. So,
Okay, Mike, do you have a question?
I just want to ask Howard, like, you've been in the business for, over two decades and everything. What is your perception of the music scene today with all these younger artists?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Well, what is your opinion of the newer generation coming out singing R&B and also, are there any acts out here that you particularly like?
Fortunately, lately there's been a lot of acts that have come out that you know, like say the John Legends and especially definitely Maxwell's and, you know, Mary J. The last couple albums that she's done is very, I've been very, you know, very impressed with and stuff. But, you know, we're coming off of, we're coming off of now about a 15 year, you know, situation where there was a bunch of craziness out there. And that's one of the places, one of the times, like I said before, that I really wasn't that interested in the whole recording situation because the standard was so low, you know, and you know, record companies had like, you know, put the bar so low that, you know, anybody could go and carve something out and put something, you know, put something together that would get airplay. And, you know, so, you know, but fortunately I think we're coming out of that whole situation, and we got some great talent out there and some great stuff. I mean, my iPod is like, I mean, it's so, I have everything from, like I said, John Legend and Maxwell to old Doris Day stuff. So, like, you know, you can't really listen to what I'm talking about as far as that's concerned, because I listen to all kinds of stuff.
Okay. Now, I want to play another song, and I have another question for you from the chat room, which kind of piggybacks on Andrew's question about the Robert Townsend Show. Sean Keyes wants to know what was it like working with Patrice Rushen?
Oh, with Patrice Rushen. Patrice and I worked like on the Robert Townsend situation, but even before that, you know, Patrice and I've been friends for years and years and years, and we've never really sat down and written anything together, but we've worked on a lot of different projects together. And Patrice is a very, very, you know, well-accomplished musician and talented, very, very talented woman. And it's nothing but an honor. It's always been an honor to work with her. Always been an honor to work with her.
Okay. All right. We're going to get to one more song, and then Howard, we're going to let you go so you can watch the game.
The fourth quarter. You guys have gone through the whole third quarter now.
Okay.
We don't even feel bad about it, Howard.
Okay.
I want to play Imagine, and I want you to tell us about working with Billy Preston.
Imagine. That was a very interesting situation because this guy named Gerald McCulley, who is a producer here in L.A. and does a lot of Gerald is a strange enigma because he has an ability to get, you know, a very wide range, a very eclectic, you know, group of people together, you know, and we did Imagine, and the way he was doing it, it was to do a bunch of different artists. You know, everybody would do a different part of the song. Like Carl Anderson did one. We had to use a verse that Carl did and a different, you know, different artists and stuff. But there was one version that I had done all myself. And when we were looking for a good cover tune for the project, you know, I was on a plane going somewhere, and I had my iPod in, and a piece of Imagine came on that I had done with Gerald, and I said, wait, this is perfect. This is a perfect situation, a perfect, you know, message. And I called him, and he had a clean version of it, and we just put it on the album the way it was, without. The way you hear it on the If Only project is just the way that it was. There was no, we didn't even, I don't think we even mixed it. We, you know, mastered it rather. We just, I'm sorry, we didn't even mix it. We mastered it, but we didn't even mix it because the way that it was perfect. So, you know, and it talks about a thing. I'm a big John Lennon fan, you know, from way back in the day. And to do that project was a complete honor.
All right. Well, this is Howard's version of John Lennon's Imagine. All right, all right. Imagine from Howard Hewitt's If Only CD. Okay, Howard, we're going to let you go so you can finish watching the rest of the game.
The fourth quarter. I want to say before I go also on Imagine. If you don't know, now you know. That was the incomparable, wonderful late Billy Preston on there, and that was all. That in itself was a complete honor to work with him on that before he passed away. You know, so it's a good thing. It's a great thing. So I hope everybody enjoys it, and I hope you enjoyed all of it. I hope you enjoy the If Only the If Only CD is a great. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say we're looking forward to the next one.
Yep, I'm working on the next one. I'm figuring out stuff that I want to talk about, and I should have something to put out there within the next couple, 2 or 3 months or so. So look out for that.
Good. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, Howard. All right. Real fast.
And also, in the meantime, there's a tour that I'm doing. You know, we're doing some dates here and there. It's called the Men of Soul tour. It's myself, Jeffrey Osborne, Peebo Bryson, and Freddie Jackson. We've been having a good time with some of the dates that we're doing. And you know, look out. You know, we'll be in a city near you soon.
All right, Jeffrey Osborne, Peebo Bryson, and who else? Peebo Bryson
and Freddie Jackson.
Freddie Jackson.
Yeah, Peebo, Freddie Jackson, and Jeffrey Osborne.
Okay.
And myself.
Wow, that's gonna be hot. Okay, great.
Yeah, we have some great time. We have some great shows. So it'll be good. It'll be a real good thing.
All right. All right.
I'm gonna go watch the game
so
now.
Hey, okay. I'm gonna ask you what's the score of the game because I'm missing all the games.
55-57.
I don't know the score because I'm doing this interview with you guys.
Oh my goodness, man! Okay, I'll bring up the phone there.
Thank you, Howard.
I
really appreciate it.
Thank you
so much.
God bless you.
All right.
God bless.
Thank
you.
All right. Bye bye. All right, Howard Hewitt. Oh my gosh, I'm in heaven. Howard Hewitt. The name of the CD is If Only. It came out in 2007, but it is an awesome CD. I'm going to play a couple of more songs from that, but I have to just take a moment right now and give a shout-out to Cheryl B. because she was very instrumental in getting Howard on the show. So thank you, Cheryl. I really appreciate all of your help and all of your effort. Thank you so much. Okay, let's Mike.
Yep.
Mike, you there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
First of all, congratulations to you on your boxer. That's cool. That's so cool that he won. So, and I'm glad you were able to call in and get a chance to talk to Howard. So I want to play a couple of more songs. We have about 20 minutes, and I've got to get some more of this music in for you to hear. He did put one of his classics on the CD, How Do I Know I Love You? I'm going to close with that. He also did, on all of his music, he puts a gospel song as well. And on this one, what's the name of it? I got to find it here.
Our Father.
Thank you, Lori. Our Father. And that's the one I want to play next. And every time I hear this song, I say to myself, if you do not know the Lord's Prayer, this is the perfect way for you to learn it. This is Our Father.
Thy kingdom come.
Heavenly Father, as it is in heaven. Father, won't you give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, our daily bread.
Oh, that song gives me goosebumps. Oh, Our Father. That is from the If Only CD by Howard Hewitt. That song takes you to church right there. Good song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me read a couple of reviews that I got off of Amazon.com. One review says, a must-have for Howard Hewitt fans. Howard's voice is as brilliant as ever, clear and strong. The music arrangements are plush and rich like the songs of old. None of that sampling here. And his songs will set the tone for love on any romantic night. It's a must-have for dedicated fans and newcomers. Another review, this has to be one of the most comprehensive CDs that I've listened to in a long time. Howard hit a home run, scored a touchdown, and won a championship with this album. I agree totally.
Okay.
If only. All right. Lori, Mike, any comments?
It was a great interview. I think Howard really gave us an inside scoop on the Shalimar situation, and we hope that, you know, Shalimar will come back and he'll sing for us here in the U.S., whether Jody's with him or not, because, I mean, he's a fantastic singer.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay, let's listen to another song. This is another favorite on the CD. This is called I Wanna Know.
I wanna do
All right, that is I Want to Know from Howard Hewitt's If Only CD. You got to pick the CD up. It is so good. It, even though it's 3 years old, it came out in 2007, it is still worth picking it up. And if you are a diehard Howard Hewitt fan, it is a must-have for your collection, a must-have. All right, we have 8 minutes left. There has been a program change for this weekend. Mike Phillips was scheduled for Sunday, and, of course, Sunday is Father's Day. So we are going to reschedule Mike Phillips, but Ball Baldwin will still be on Sunday. And he will, you know, he has a CD coming out, tribute CD to Michael Jackson called Never Can Say Goodbye. So we will talk to him about that. Saturday, Marcus Anderson will be on to talk about his new project, From the Heart, and what he's been up to since we talked to him the same time last year. So we're looking forward to talking to them. And then on Monday, saxophonist Jason Weber will be on the show as well. Okay, Mike, do you have anything to add?
No, like I said, I'm mad that I missed everything. You know, it sounded like it was a good interview.
Yes, it was fun. I had a great time with him. I'm so happy that I finally got a chance to get him on the show, thanks to Cheryl. So I'm happy about that.
And Lori, you there, Lori? You kind of quiet over there.
I'm just flying low. I guess my friends told me I had to remain cool and calm, so I tried to do so.
Well, thank you, Lori, for being a fan co-host. I think you did a great job, and I appreciate you, coming on, and wanting
so
to hang out with
you
us.
You had me. You know, I love talking to Howard. It's almost like a dream come true. So I really appreciate it.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to close the show with a classic from Howard. How Do I Know I Love You? You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen,
and Mike Reynolds.
And Lori Gardner.
All right, we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you this weekend. Until then, keep it smooth.
This is so nice, I had to do it one more time. Here's the romance.
How do I know I love you, girl? Is it the way you wear your hair? Is it your smile that tells me I adore you? The scent of your perfume. How do I know I love you, baby? My stomach does flip when you're near. Call me a fool, call me sentimental, but call me, please call me dear. I'll take you on a magic carpet ride, flip around Venus and through Mars and down the earth. How do I know? How do I know I love you? I guess there's something in the air, babe. Hey, 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 yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Walking in New Orleans. Down Bourbon Street, hand in hand, something in the air, baby. I
Guess it's something in the air, babe. Yeah, 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 yeah.